Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm so glad that you're here seeking a cool environment given the blistering heat outside. My name is Linda Yar. I'm Director of Partnerships for International Strategies in Asia, which is part of the Seeger Center for Asian Studies. We have, our organization has been working with universities and research institutes and ministries all across Asia for over 25 years. Today I'm delighted to offer this session with the participation of Dr. Yu Hongyuan. Dr. Yu is a professor and deputy director of the Department of International Organization and Laws at Shanghai Institute for International Studies. He has been an honorary fellow at the Center for International Energy Strategy Studies at Renmin University of China, and an honorary fellow of the Center for Asian Pacific Studies at Lingnan University. I met Dr. Yu at a very large conference here in Washington sponsored by the National Council of Environment and Education. I was very glad when he let me know that he would be going to the Rio Summit and would be able to stop by at GW to give us his thoughts and his observations about the summit at, which is underway with, I guess today is the last day when the leaders are getting together, and hopefully we'll come up with a declaration that will be useful for the future. But without further ado, let me introduce Dr. Yu to speak about geoclimate and the shift in strategy. How about Rio and China? Thank you, Dr. Yu.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Linda. It's my great pleasure to be here. And it's my thanks for this great opportunity to share my experience in Rio. And actually, I'm not the member of official delegation. I just attend several set events. I'm a member for NGO, and I just attend the Rio Climate Change Initiatives held by Brothers Congress. And when I come back, many scholars in DC just ask me what is Rio plus 20 meaningful, or what's the meaning for Rio plus 20? I told him that because every country, every share climate change environmental shareholders will have different meanings for this summit. Will get different from this Rio plus 20 summit. For most of the small or middle countries like Senegal, like Bolivia, like small island countries, they can have very, very strong voices in this Rio summit. As we know, President Premier Wen Jiabao may have feminist presentation in Rio summit, but other countries, small island countries, still have the same times for their presentation. So in this summit, the small countries can get the voices in the international community with the attention from all over the world. For the large countries, for the hosting countries, particularly Brazil, they take it as a great interest, great opportunity to improve its national identity, to improve, to show Brazil's soft power because as we know, in next 5 years, there will be 3 top events in Rio, World Cup, World Football Cup, the Olympic Games, and the Rio Plus 20 Summit. So it's before that, there's no such kind of country, city like Rio, no such kind of country like Brazil, just will have, just make so many top events in such a short period. But by doing so, Brazil can show his regional leadership, even the global leadership. Also, Brazil try to just demonstrate his culture, his environmental, very high environmental awareness, because as we know, the Rio Center, the conference will be host there, actually were built up with some recycling and environmental friendly materials. It's quite different from Beijing Olympics, Shanghai Expo, or other very big events. Brazil actually show a very high environment from environment awareness, and also we'll find that if we take a look on in this Rio Summit, we found that for the first time there are many NGOs or from developing countries that. There are many set events held by such kind of NGOs like China, from China, from India, from Africa. And previously, such kind of events actually controlled or dominated by the Western countries, NGOs, Western countries, mass media. But if you can take a look, just make a literature search, we'll find that for this time, for the first time, we'll find much more voices from the developing world. And it's also the first time for China's NGO, independent NGO, make a coalition with China's enterprise in Rio Plus 20. They have two goals. First is to learn from the outside world, from such kind of big events. The second, China's independent NGO try to demonstrate what's China, the changes in China, because it's really because all this kind of this such kind of independent NGO just they get their finance from the enterprise, China's private sectors. They can make the independent all the decisions of the set event program just as their will. Particularly some very big or important Chinese private sectors like Wang Shi from and Feng Lun, some from very big Chinese real estate companies, just also to try to come to Rio to make some set events on Chinese green buildings and China's sustainable development and China's private sectors. So when we because most people just told me that they feel quite pessimistic because most of G8, most of the big countries, big powers didn't appeared in Rio. But if we turn our eyes to the NGOs, to the particularly developing countries NGOs, we can find there the increasing hope from the developing countries, particularly from the developing countries NGOs, developing countries private sectors, because just this year, the middle class. Global middle class geography shifted. The middle class population in China and plus India is much bigger. Exceeds the in the Western countries. So actually, in Shanghai, in Beijing, the middle class populations not only to will get a much higher energy left circle, resource left circles, but also they pay more attention to some environmental protection, living environment problem, just like the US people did in 1970s. So Rio also provide a window opportunities for Chinese middle class to know the world, to know the green growth. So actually, for my opinion, I found that the biggest of outcome for Rio is the globalization of green growth. This because previously we talk about urbanization, investment, adjustment, but this time we really every countries from small island countries to the new emerging countries, from the some Eastern European transition countries like Poland to some very some kind of the countries with some nationalism like Iran or Bolivia. All these countries that can make the consensus that we should to build a green growth route for our future. Because the earth is not us, just we borrowed from the future of our generation. So the globalization of green growth after this conference, today's Rio Plus 20 Summit, I think the ideas, the philosophy of green growth will really make some different world in the future. And also will particularly many Western countries mass media think is why we bring so many people, maybe more than 5,000 people, 50,000 people from all over the world to the Rio. Why we just to use such kind of money to do some small project to help the environment protection? Because my answer is because for environment our problem, for energy resources scarcity problem, we found we cannot use the traditional new liberalism approach to tackle with them, because previously for all the resources, energy, environment problem, there are two approach. One is investment for energy poverty, investment for the energy sustainability, investment for new technologies. Another is adjustment, just try to control the fossil fuel burning, to try to control some luxury consumptions by carbon tax. So that that is a continuously paradox between the investment and adjustment since the 1970s. But such kind of the balance of adjustment and investment strategy cannot resolve our crisis, particularly under the financial crisis today. We found that for adjustment, there's no progress for climate change from Copenhagen. There's no, actually, Kyoto Protocol is dead already. For the investment, actually for the GF, for Clean Climate Change Foundation funds, for any other environment assistance, we cannot get any more from Western countries. And also there is no such kind of institute in funds for new emerging countries. So so the investment and the adjustment strategies from new liberalism approach cannot tackle our Earth crisis. So we should think it again, or we should to try to use some culture, some new culture, new philosophy to rethink our old ways, our traditional life standard, our social economic model. Because 300 years ago, Francis Bacon said, the difficulties don't lie in the new ideas. It lies in the how we escape from the old ones. So that's the Rio Plus 20 can provide the world. We try to use the globalization of green growth to try to let us to avoid the traditional industrialization, traditional the luxury, the wasteful culture from India, from China, from U.S. to China, and particularly when we come to Rio Center, we find the biggest the most popular posture is about simple life. The enough is good. The philosophy about the simple life. The enough is good, because such kind of philosophy to try to ask the booming to try to influence the booming middle class in new emerging countries, and even try to change the philosophy of American or Western, other Western countries' consumption culture. We try to ask from Rio, most people, we try to require all the participants to rethink our Earth from your soul, to try to find the solution from your inside, from the soul, not just to use some market approach, to use some business approach to deal with the very complex scenario. And so my presentation is about this shift of philosophy is about climate change and what China and Rio, what China can do, and what China will do, and in the maybe after Rio for finance, for institutions. And my presentation will have three parts. First is the rise of geoclimate change, and the main content of the geoclimate change, and the Rio Plus 20 and China. First is about the geoclimate change. If we take a look at the global economic geography, we find the shift of the economic geography will and the trade geography. It's the raising of new emerging countries like particularly China, India, Brazil, and this. But if we take another slide, it's about climate change, the security, a hotspots of geoclimate change. This from the IPCC report 2007, we found such kind of the very important economic or prosperity area like China, India, and Brazil were all most vulnerable to global warming. Like Shanghai will be the most vulnerable to sea level rising, as we know, because most of China's prosperity area are located in the Chinese coastline area. Sea level rising, hurricanes, and the global warmings will pose great dangers to China's this rich areas. And according to China's IPCC report, will be the GDP losses will be around 3 to 5%. And with time passing by, these losses will grow and increase faster and faster. And also the same situation will happen in India, will in the border, particularly for India, the India's fossil fuels will be depleted, will be all used up in next 20 years. So there's the resources scarcity, the water scarcity because of the melt of Himalayan mountains. It's upstream for India, so most of India's rivers, the water resources, water scarcity, and the food scarcity, the water, food, energy, next to scarcity will cause quite a lot of trouble, quite a lot of dangers for India's social economic development. And the same, even the worst situation will happen, and it's happens and will continue to make a much more serious impacts in Africa, in Latin American countries. So if we should just to add these two pictures, we'll find the climate change have quite a lot implications for economic development. And if we take the Rio's green growth philosophy, globalization of green growth, and the green globalization of green growth will also change future economic geography, because not currently more and more big powers to try to pay more attention to energy, renewable energy, low carbon energy efficiency. Currently, U.S. renewable energy for electricity supply is number one in the world, and China's renewable, like particularly solar and wind energies, account for most of the world global market shares. And according to Stern report, most of the countries, even under the crisis, financial crisis, like in Germany and British, they all take low carbon as a incentive or driver force for his economic recovery. And then we can make a conclusion that previously there's some linkage. We will talk about geopolitics and geoeconomics and the interaction between geoeconomics and geopolitics. But currently, there's a new triangle relations in global politics. There's geopolitics, geoeconomics, geoclimate change. Geoclimate change will cause some refugees conflicts, the water conflicts, and the resources conflicts. And just like Darfur, unlike in some Southeast Asian countries. And also geoclimate change can bring some economic geography shift, can make a revolutionary shift in our economic foundations. So the triangle between geopolitics, geoeconomics, geoclimate change this triangle relations will change our world, and actually have particularly significant implications for this Rio summit. So to my opinion, based on my analysis, there are three main contexts for geoclimate change. Firstly, it's the new all the fragmentation of the global governance, just like because previously when we talk about the global governance, there will be the hegemony stability or U.S. hegemony governance, and currently it's quite different because it's a fragmentation of global governance, the bottom up and quite a lot of bottom up governance, and particularly in environment and climate change. And another is about some new resources and new shaping patterns will shape the world economic geography, like Arctic route from the Iceland, from Iceland to China, to link to China and European countries to change global trading patterns. And the third is about globalization or green growth. And so when we talk about the global warming, that's basically global warming, we'll find that actually there are very big change for Arctic climate change, Arctic melt, because when you come to the Arctic or the North Pole in the summer, you cannot find any the iceberg around the North Pole, according to China's iceberg ship last summer's report. And so according to US and other countries report, the shipping patterns, the new shipping patterns, the northwest, northwest, and the central Arctic routes will be exploited and can come into force maybe in next 10 to 15 years. Then we'll find some new shipping patterns from China to European country, from US to China, and from North America to the European countries. And also because Arctic resources, particularly oil and gas, will account for one third of the world resource. And currently there's this pictures shows currently that so many companies, countries, particularly Norway's national oil companies and Russia's national NOCs, have made quite a lot of explorations and in the Arctic regions, and will bring great change for global oil geography. And the answer for climate change is the fragmentation of the governance, because there are two trends for global governance, particularly for environment and climate change. One is coherence, this conference in Rio, European countries, the French President Hollande, that try to improve the UNEP, try to push forward so-called One UN and World Environment Organization's plan, but he failed at the last minutes. For most small countries, they think fragmentation is good. For NGOs, they think fragmentation is better than a coherence, because they can have some more voices in global governance, and they can seek the equity, fairness from such fragmentation. If we still try to use the One UN or One WEO World Environmental Organization to manage everything, every issues in environment and social economic development, we'll find some small countries' interests will be damaged based on the historical experience. So the governance of the fragmentation are also to have bring some very negative result for China, for developing countries, because with the globalization, we'll find that traditional south-north divide, particularly rich country to poor countries divide, disappeared. We'll find there's quite a lot of conflicts, disputes between the poor countries and the rich countries, between and also between the developing countries, like high development with high carbon and low development with low carbon. We find that in every particularly in the climate change negotiation, even the New York summit, we found actually there are some disputes between small developing countries and large developing countries. The small developing countries try to deny, try to just the principle of common differentiated responsibilities, try to push China, India to make some absolutely mandate carbon emission and try to ask them to join the financial support, multilateral financial support. But India, these disputes actually seldom found in 1990s, because at that time they only have south to north power to reach, and only the G77 can manage everything for so-called developing countries' interests and consensus. But however, from Rio, we find that there is very big fragmentation between the developing countries. We can because for EU's proposal, some proposal actually supported by quite a lot of small developing countries, and there are some the new negotiation or new the conflicts will happen between the large polluter and the small polluters, so-called big three, China, India, United States, in some and other countries. This will change the climate change geography and some make the global governments much more fragmented than before. And so that in Rio, we find that these pictures in Rio and there are quite a lot of pictures we'll find that it's very interesting, like because actually we should control our access to resources, because the Earth's resources cannot support the booming of the globalization and industrialization. But the problem is how to distribute such kind of carrying capacity, how to make the different countries to accept the controlling the adjustment for their academic development, how to make every countries do not take GDP as the GDP growth as the only indicator for social economic for their political performance from US to China. But so global environment, this kind of the negotiations just be linked with the economic and economic conflicts and resources conflicts. So this pictures come from the resources of the Nicholas Stern from LSE's report about different countries should take different measures for climate change, for low carbon. And then after that, there will be some changes for our global economic geography, particularly the ETS, the emission trading system. There are so many in United States, California, and other states, they have such kind of emission trading systems. And even in China, we have 7 parallel program on emission trading system, even in Chinese Taiwan and in Japan, in Australia, in India, that they just began to build some ETS or environmental markets, environmental trading markets. So even in Rio, we also try to reorganize our global trade geography by ETS, because ETS can control some shipping, aviation carbon tax and the shipping carbon tax, and the steel industries carbon tax, and some manufactured industries carbon tax. By doing so, it will actually to make the adjustment and the, to the global trade and to try to build a global ETS maybe in next 20 to 30 years. But no matter what the when the global ETS be built, but the such kind of idea about ETS for the trade, for the domestic economic development will change the economic geography from all over the world. So this about the Rio, from Rio to Rio 20, because in 1992, it's actually suggested by the US and the G7 countries on the 1992 Rio summit. And at that time, still North to South divide will just replace the East-West conflict, because the Soviet Union just collapsed, and actually European countries, United States work together to try to use the global governance as a new philosophy for all the world. But after it's after 20 years, we'll find that most G7 countries, G8 countries, the leader didn't appear in Rio summit, but the BRICS countries, the large developed countries like China, India, Brazil, Indonesia, they come and gathered together to try to play a leadership in Rio 20, Rio Plus 20 summit. So maybe the large developing countries may and can play some kind of leading role and to try to share the global governance power with the G8 countries. And I think everyone may know very well about Rio Plus 20, the two main themes. One is the green growth, green development. Another is about the governance innovation. They put forward 10 challenges, emerging challenges for our Earth. And these pictures just shows that this conference, Rio Plus 20 Summit, to use quite different measures for this challenge. That's they get the proposals from all over the world, from bottom up, from everyone can just get into the UNSCD's website and can put forward your advice for the Earth for such kind of 10 challenges. And then in the Rio Plus 20, they have the sustainable dialogue just to try to make review about such kind of normal people's advice from all over the world on Rio, on global risks. And then the United Nations will make the recommendations to summit based on the normal people's, global normal people's suggestions. So this is innovation for the global governance, that we try to listen to the normal people's voices, try to get all the suggestions from all over the world, from the website, and then we ask the high-level officials to make policy review and make the recommendations to the summit, and actually make a significant success in the and also attract global attention, particularly from some young peoples, and even quite a lot of children join such kind of the making voice heard movement for Rio. And also today we found that we have three outcomes, like the political outcome, the the document, some SDGs, and some commitments, and bilateral, multilateral partnership buildings. When I leave from Rio, 19th, we actually, most of the people have a pessimistic take of attitudes to the political outcome document because they are quite over more than 80% of the content to be decided in just 1 or 2 days, and there are quite a lot of disputes, difference between among different countries, and particularly the actually the most important conflicts is between the China BRICS countries and EU, because China insists to make the some kind of 30 billion US dollars financial commitment from Western countries should be written in the political outcome document, but EU refused. But EU actually asked the new emerging country to share more concrete responsibilities, and also to ask the document to delete the principle of common but differentiate. But also for this, at that point, these countries cannot get the consensus. But finally, the Brussels plays a very key role for the chair to the difference and the disputes between among different countries, and we get the outcome document, but with quite a few concrete outcome, like finance, like some commitment, mandatory commitment, and capital. Actually, there is no such kind of commitment. So from this point, from this meeting, actually, the political outcome document it's just like another talk shop, because when we just talk with these country leaders in Johannesburg 2002, we make a very concrete outcome, like the finance, like the commitments, and even the climate change negotiations. But this time, actually, we have no such kind of very concrete commitment from the new emerging countries and from the Western countries. This is also the reason why Obama didn't attend Rio, because all these big powers think they cannot get any fruits or political fruits from this Rio, because any fruits, just the lower fruits actually been achieved in 1992 or 2002. Actually, they cannot get concrete political fruits for their. So most of these G8 countries didn't appear in Rio, and also we achieve the consensus of philosophy for green economy or globalization or green economy, and also we try to build a strong United Nations Environmental Protection Organizations like UEP, WEP. But at this stage, there's no progress for any UEP's reform or for the Sustainable Development Regime's reform. Maybe we can still, but for China, we'll to try to give quite a lot of money, a huge amount of money to UEP, maybe later. Soon China will announce that. But the French and the EU will still insist to build a WEP, World Environmental Organizations. Maybe will the negotiations still continued on the UNEP's reform, even UN reform. So the last part is about China and China's strategies for about the geoclimate change and the resources cooperation and the shipping patterns, because currently there are two very important shifts for global energy policies. One is the consumption centers will shift it to China, India, according to BP and EIA's statistics. And particularly for China's resources scarcity, oil scarcity is actually become seriously with the time passing by. Particularly China's per capita resources is comparatively lower than any country in the world. Our water is only 1/4 of the global or world average. China's oil is only 6% of global average per capita. And China's actually its energy structure is very unbalanced and unhealthy, and China also cannot change it in one day. And thus China tried to build the east to west, the European to China to east pipeline, oil pipeline and gas line, and try to get join the resources development in Arctic with the global warming, and strengthen the China-Russia's cooperation, particularly around in Arctic regions. And also, we will talk about China's about China's trade and oil and trade partners. We will find that most of China's oil and trade partners is about in the Middle East, Australia, America, and the European countries. And these countries actually are very critical for China's social economic development, because even today China's China's GDP growth rate depends on its external trade relations, external exportation and importation with the major economies. And as such, the particularly because China actually China economy actually depends on its external relations, so China's shipping patterns or China's trade shipping patterns is very critical for China's economic and domestic economic development. Currently, there are three directions for China's shipping patterns. It's the Indian Ocean, the Oceania's, and the Pacific Ocean. Particularly for Indian Ocean, if we take a look on this map, then actually most of China's trade between China and EU countries, between China and Middle East countries, come from the Indian Ocean direction, even including the Australia, because Australia is the largest coal exporter for China, and very important for China's strategic resources importation. But so it's very dangerous for China only to depend on the Indian Ocean as its external relations. So the Arctic regions, Arctic roads, particularly the central road from European countries to Greenland, to Iceland, to China is very important. As last month, China President Hu Jintao visited the Denmark, and Wen Jiabao come to the Iceland and signed the Arctic cooperation with Iceland, and try to strengthen our cooperation with the Greenland on the shipping and Arctic cooperation. So, and also the this will give or bring quite a lot, maybe to save quite a lot of money for China's the shipping patterns, to be most, maybe over $120 billion with the Arctic routes. And also the second part for for China's and the geoclimate change is green growth, globalization. China is, for investment, China is number one, exceed the US in clean and low carbon and energy. For other energies, renewable and power growth in China also is number one in the world. And from China's national report, we can find China have done quite a lot from the market and for local economy and from the carbon emissions, particularly for the energy efficiency, for 20% per capita and energy consumption in last 5 years. And also the way actually to try to make quite a lot for low carbon or zero carbon energy. We actually, China announced quite a lot of new plan, new ambitious plan or cooperation plan in Rio, particularly for his low carbon and zero carbon energy. And China also just like about to try to build quite a lot of local area, just like US for China's local, particularly low carbon cities building and the local local carbon emission and energy efficiency building. China also have done quite a lot. I just passed through because there are so many. Currently, for energy efficiency, for technology innovation, and for the particularly for the energy and the clean technology, China still lagged very behind with the Western countries. And not only the energy intensity, energy efficiency, but also the high technologies. Because currently, from the China's high technology exportations, more than 80% comes from the multinational corporations and the joint venture corporations, based on Shanghai Jiao University reports. So this at only 20% comes from China's integrals companies and private sectors. This data shows that actually most of the China's high technology manufacturer exportation actually just come from the Western countries companies and not from China's integrals innovation. So China should do more on his low carbon innovation, technology cooperation, and this slide shows the energy efficiency building. And particularly in this Rio Summit, previous Wen Jiabao to try to strengthen South to North divide, try to keep the South to South cooperation, because South to South